Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled to bring you speaker highlights from our annual Lit B-Book Awards and a peek at what you can expect this year from Marilyn Horowitz, New York University professor, author, producer, and Manhattan-based writing coach.
For the last 20 years, I'm a writing coach. My hobby is I teach screenwriting at New York University. This is one of the textbooks there. And for the last 20 years, TV writing has been considered the bottom, movies have been considered the top, but suddenly what happened was, as you all know, the cable stations stopped being powerful, right? Netflix started having programming, the networks no longer had the kind of clout, and all of a sudden we have a wild west in the television world because there's so many outlets, and as you know, there's no good TV on, right? They haven't replaced The Sopranos. Right? If you talk to executives at AMC, they got nothing after Westworld. They had Walking Dead. There was a tremendous dearth of content. So back in the 60s, I don't know if you remember a movie called Easy Rider. Does anybody remember this movie? Now, my dad, I come from a movie entertainment background. My dad was one of the friends of the producers, and what happened after that movie came back was that the studio started saying, how come we have to spend $100 million on a movie? These guys did it on a shoestring, and they're getting the same kind of... And so for about a five-year period, people could get movies in. Regular people could go and pitch a movie and get them made. Didn't last because, you know, they're not very many good anythings, much less movies, right? But there was an opportunity. Now, we uniquely find ourselves in the same world that we were in, but in the television business, because we have Netflix, we have Amazon, we have all these new streaming stations. The head of ABC Comedy just left ABC to start a new comedy station. And obviously we have all the specialty things. We have Discovery Channel, we have History Channel. So not only is there a much greater market, there is a greater demand for specific content, and specifically that of the type that many of you write, which is nonfiction of various kinds. Is that correct? Okay, so... this is your moment to get in the game. It's a window that's going to be open for 2 or 3 years, and then it's going to close, and they will have figured out a new formula, and we'll have to watch garbage for another 10 years, if we can find it with all the thousands of channels. So how many people here would say that there's a personal story about themselves in their books? Okay, anybody who doesn't have one is not going to sell their book. Okay, we all know this, because stories are about characters, right? However great Omar's work, without him being a rather charismatic person, he would not have been as successful, right? It all helps. A lot of this is about understanding that what you have is yourself. Does that make sense? The new missing piece is this piece. How many new stars do we have on YouTube who do nonsense, who are now making $5 or $6 million, right? Well, but there are YouTube channels where if you go on, I'm on one because I like books on how to use the subconscious, and I'm very interested in how the various waking states apply to each other. And you know, you go on, there's a channel, and they have thousands of books that you can listen to on YouTube now. I mean, there is a real interest in this sort of thing, and a lot of you are working on spiritual books and how to have a better purpose and how to make money through spirituality. And I think we're all very committed to understanding the idea that we're not doing this on our own, right? However we describe that experience. Now, we're on a trend where this content has not gotten into the TV market. I mean, there are a couple. You know, Touched by an Angel was on forever. I mean, it's not like it's a new idea. But there's a much greater opportunity. So what I do, as I said, my hobby is teaching at New York University. I also teach television writing at School of Visual Arts, especially to animators. So I work on a lot of animated material. And there's an opportunity now for you to organize your material, put together the equivalent of a book proposal, which is called a pitch Bible, write a pilot, or look at a web series, or write a movie, and actually get things made. Okay? This is a true opportunity. It will not last. And all of us are here. You know, we have resources. We've committed ourselves to our work. So why not take the next step? You'll spend money on promotion. You'll get yourselves on TV. This is a heck of a good way to promote your idea, right? Get a web series, you know, get something like, you know, on the Food Channel. I mean, if you go and you look, there are so many places for you to place content, and this has not been organized because it hasn't existed long enough. So this is about you getting something to show, whatever that is, and showing it and figure out where to go. What I do for a living is I help people get their material good enough, whether it's in movies or television, or I have a lot of authors who are published by major publishers, good enough so that the material cannot be refused. In other words, if it's refused, it's not because of the quality of the material. Now, when you go to some of these events, you hear them talking about that word content. It is not content, it is writing, and it must be excellent. In my business, the hardest thing is to get your work read, but then, of course, when it's read, it has to be excellent. It has to be so good that they're goons can't rewrite it. That's how good it has to be. Now, before I go further, let's define good. Now, good in every setting, in my opinion, is a memorable story and great characters. Anybody here not going to agree? Now, if you're writing comedy, it has to also be funny. And if it's not comedy, a great comedy writer said to me, oh, yeah, drama, that thing, that's comedy without jokes, right? I said, yeah, but, you know, it's provocative. He was being sarcastic, and I thought, I'm not going to let him get away with that. So I thought about it for 2 weeks, and then this morning I woke up and I went, what is comedy without jokes? Ah, irony. Ah, right? So how many of you would say that not only have you been through your incredible experiences, but that part of what you bring to the table is a way for you to process these experiences? Right? Isn't that what makes you unique? We all have the same stuff. It's how we process it, yes? So irony comes from being able to tell a good story. It's to deliver a different kind of punchline. It's not a funny one, right? But nonetheless, a punchline is something that we go, oh, yeah, I recognize that. We talk about your dog, right? It's like, oh, God, the husband and the dog. I definitely broke up with someone because he asked me if I'd get rid of my cat. I was like, I mean, haven't we all had a story like that? There's no argument. What were they thinking, right? But if we extrapolate that into a television series or a movie about a woman who meets someone as a result of her spiritual quest who has to decide between the man and the cat or the man and the dog, there's a great basis for comedy. Do you see what I mean? You would go to a theater and spend $13 on that, wouldn't you? And that's my point. That's where these ideas come from. The ideas come from what is happening to us translated into the universal. Does that make sense? So on that idea, now the other thing that's happened is that not only are there television series, there's a much greater interest in documentaries. As you know, Omar, it's being taken as a very serious art form. HBO has many channels. There are now documentary film festivals. Television is having the same experience, especially to comedy, because everybody is trying to get in on the comedy market or a serious market like The Walking Dead, you know, the fantasy world. And if you go and you look, there's a website called MovieBytes.com, and you will see 99 conferences, competitions for screenplays and for television pilots, in which they guarantee to get you an agent. They pay you money. I mean, they are desperate for content. This is no joke. This is the one place where you really, really could make a killing here if you know what to do. MovieBytes.com, and they have a list of all of the competitions. This is the way you do it these days, because they're so hungry that in olden days you'd have to get it in there and readers would read it. Now they're reading stuff, you know, as soon as it comes in. There's another, if you look also, there's something called the Virtual Pitch Fest. I'm not sure, you have to Google it. And you can put up your pitch for your story for a few dollars. And really, eager people in Hollywood are scrolling for this because they say there's a content problem. Yes, ma'am. Well, that is a wonderful question and probably the most important one. The answer is, bad news, you cannot copyright an idea, nor can you copyright a title. You can only copyright the execution. And the nature, like everything else, is everything has a risk factor. I guarantee you your idea is not so high concept and great that someone's going to steal it from you, seriously. I mean, if it was, you'd be able to get money for it because it would be so distinctive, it would be recognizable. What you can do is write something called a treatment. Now, if you go to my website, which is marilynhorowitz.com, if you sign up for my newsletter, and I send out a weekly newsletter with script tips and competitions and so on, so a very short one I would like to add, very short, you also get a free article on how to write a treatment. And a treatment is what you do. You write a treatment, which is a 2 or 3 page short story written in the present tense, and that you can register with the Writers Guild. And the Writers Guild, either East and West, it doesn't matter. It will not protect you in court, but it will get you taken more seriously. But really, the nature of this beast is if there were so many great ideas to steal, I wouldn't be here having this conversation with you. It's all execution. There are very few high concept ideas. But there are execution. And who was it? Was it Rick that says, no, it was Mike who said, the people who get jobs are people who can market themselves. Okay, that really is the game. So this is a way to start to learn how to market yourself. Ultimately, you need a log line. Now, the gentleman you're sitting next to was telling me a very interesting story about something that happened to him, which I won't give details, of course. And I said, you know, I really think that would make an excellent Lifetime movie or a movie of the week because it's about a woman's journey, an interesting and unusual one in a time when men were not given custody of their children. I mean, it's a very different story. And the idea is that Lifetime has upgraded because there is so much competition. See, the great thing about competition, and whatever we think about politics and so on and so forth, the president who gets in, who stimulates competition, is going to give us an economy where we can make money. And the same way in the television business, there is a tremendous amount of competition, but there is very little good content. You see how it's an interesting time? So well presented, you do a treatment, there are things to do. And this is what I consult about. And I'm going to be at Author 101 tomorrow. I'll be doing the meet and greets. I'm there. This is my thing. Come talk to me. I will not be kind to you. I'm famous for not being kind, but I will be honest. And the point is, you have to get in the game, okay? It's like you come out here and Rick says, you have to write a book to become an expert, right? How many thousands of people has being in one of Vicky's compilations put in the game? I am an international bestseller. I am a specialist in whatever I'm a specialist in. I mean, people like Vicky and Rick provide a kind of service that, again, you're in it, you don't get it, but from my perspective, it's an unbelievable gift because this is something that the people generally like you who deserve it don't get it. You see what I mean? Because the market is not rigged in your favor. Your market is rigged on for very self-serving, narcissistic people who can push through. That's the game. So to have an opportunity for nice people to finish first, that's for me. I like it, and for all of you. So now before we begin, I'm going to actually teach you how to do this conceptually. And you can grab your books. You're not really going to need them in particular, but have them. There's a way to do story. So even after this conversation that we're going to have, if you never write anything, learning how to tell a better story is going to help you in every arena, right? Every arena. And people don't really understand what storytelling is, really. They think it's telling a story. Well, it is and it isn't. But basically, as my friend said, it's a non-funny joke with a punchline. Does that make sense? In other words, you have to set up and you have to deliver. Make sense? So let me get a baseline. If everybody had a dream, and let's assume that you're all extremely talented and it's a moment in time, I know that you could make many documentaries. But if you were going to do something fun, how many people here think that they might be able to take a piece of their lives and make, say, a movie, a cable, or a feature film? Okay. How many people think that they could then take this and perhaps turn it into a television series and write a pilot? Okay, now that's a fun idea because it's a lower commitment of time and energy, right? And then how many people might consider a web series, which are like 15-minute increments that have very easy access, you see? Now, especially there's one gentleman here who had filmed a lot of business conferences, and he also owned the rights for a very important feature film. And so the question was, how do you repurpose that? No one's going to sit and watch a half-hour thing from the mid-2000s, right? So the answer was, make it a web series, right? So you get the meat, you use a clip, you have a formula. You have a clip, you have his explanation, and then you have a wraparound with someone modern, so you bring it up to date, you package that stuff, and this is where you can start to look for sponsorship, especially given your orientation. So this is another way for you to do it, because in the olden days, what was radio? Radio was a medium for people to sell things, right? Isn't TV still ads? And look what they've done to YouTube, right? Try to listen to something on YouTube lately? Okay? And that's what they do, and that's what's happening with all these new cable stations and the streaming stations. It'll be a matter of time before, yes, they'll give you your free downloads on Amazon Prime, and yes, you will have to listen to 2 or 3 minutes of ads, unless you pay an extra price not to get the ads. This is the structure, right? Everybody notice how if you go to get your Apple Now it's all about service. Apple has suddenly turned into a service business. Do we notice this? Right? It's because they can't sell any more computers. So the nature of business is it keeps shifting. And so where we are now is we're at this moment where they are desperate for content. Okay, that being said, are you ready to go to work? All right. So if you want to use my book, great. Otherwise, read it. It's pretty short. It's intended to really get you to do work. So if you're sitting on the plane for fun, have a couple glasses of champagne and see what you got. You know, it's really good. It's a textbook both at NYU and at School of Visual Arts. It doesn't look much like a textbook, which was my intention, because I'm very anti-authoritarian and I don't like to be told what to do, and I suspect none of you do either. And the idea is that the cover is supposed to be for Back to the Future. So the idea is you get whichever you want, so be careful what you wish for, because you might get big, right? Or you might get small. Now, the basic structure of movies, as we all know, and all basic stories, is three acts. Are people familiar with that idea? Anybody not? And don't be shy, because it's kind of critical. Haven't you ever gone to a cocktail party and someone's telling you about calculus and you're trying to look intelligent, and then they ask you a question, you are so busted? So let's be pre-busted. Okay, no stupid questions, only the non-asking. So the basic idea is everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Is that fair? All right, and when you tell the story about how you got in your car, you went somewhere, something happened, and then there was a payoff, right? Okay, so now you know how to write a movie. That's basically what we're doing. Now, in the traditional structure that's used for dramatic, and when I say movies, I mean screenplays, books, anything that requires a dramatic story, and also narrative nonfiction. So every story begins with your character is somewhere, right? Your character is in wherever they are, whether you are, you're in. The story of today is I was sitting in this lovely room, I was getting my Epi Award, and this lady came on and she said, maybe I should make my story into a TV show. That's the beginning. That's how your story started. Now, Act One is all about how the thing gets started, right? And that's basically what we have. Then we have Act Three, which is all about, do we get what we want? Did we win or did we lose or did something else happen, right? And people who write, anybody here write fiction or write movies? Okay, well then you know that's the second act that's the problem, correct? Ah, but here's the secret. This is very hard because also if you watch movies and you start to see, you'll see that first act is about 30 minutes of screen time, third act is about 30 minutes of screen time, and then there's this long thing in the middle called the second act. It's about 60 minutes that usually is draggy and boring, right? So I've taught a class at NYU for 20 years called How to Write a Screenplay in 10 Weeks or Less. And I have taught thousands of people to write a readable, not a finished, but a readable first draft in less than 10 weeks. The way that I did this was at a certain point after suffering horribly myself, was I realized that it was the second act that was this problem. So remember, we have the setup, that's Act One, then we have the complication, which is Act Two, and then we have the payoff. So Act Two is this long, unwieldy thing. And then I realized that if you take Act Two and you broke it into two pieces, what you got was roughly four pieces of story that were about the same length. And we could kind of go Shakespearean on it, and we could have an Act One, Part One, and then we could have an Act Two, Part Two. Sounds fancy, right? Well, it was a heck of a lot easier than trying to drag one story through this long thing. And I realized that it was actually two stories. So that within Act Two, you were doing two separate things, and this is why most people fail. This is why most of the movies you see are crap. It's because people don't understand this trick, and I'm going to teach it to you, and you can use it for anything. So the four magic questions of screenwriting, of course I'm Jewish, and there's something called the Passover ceremony in which we ask the four magic questions, but not of screenwriting. And I guess I got that idea as a little kid, saying, well, if you could ask it in four questions, you probably could get answers. So if you want to write this down, Act One asks, what is my main character's dream? And sometimes it's the reverse, it's the nightmare. So Act One explains where the story is. And then in Act Three, we answer the question, did the character achieve their dream or forfeit it, right? In The Godfather, he forfeits his dream, he becomes a bad guy. And in Witness, which is the teaching film, has everybody seen Witness? It's an old film, we've all seen it. In Witness, he wins because he goes back and he catches the bad guys, but in a new way, in a relatively nonviolent way, right? So if we can consider those two ideas, now take this experientially for an idea that you might have in your book or something you want to write. Can you identify what the dream or the nightmare is? Obviously, if you're writing a book about trauma, it probably starts with a nightmare. So can you identify one or the other? That's great, okay? Then we have Act Three, so we know that the character either gets it or loses it, right? So we've now written half your movie or the pilot for your TV show. Do you get this? All right, now we get to the really gnarly bit, which is called Act Two. Remember, that's that long thing in the middle. So what we do there is we have our two pieces, right? We have two more questions. So the Act Two, Part One question is, what is the nightmare? What is the inverse of what happened in Act One? So if Act One is your dream, now we know things are going to go bad. And if things were bad in Act One, we know they're going to go good, right? So in The Godfather, things actually go good in Act Two because he kills the guys and he goes off to Sicily. So that's happy. In Witness, he gets shot and he gets stuck and he can't go anywhere. That's a nightmare. So can you identify those two pieces of your story? Great. So you've now written three-quarters of your movie, your pilot, your web series, or even your novel. Pretty cool, right? Now we have the hard part. This is where everybody fails. Next time you go see a bad movie, see if this isn't why. What the heck is Act Two, Part Two about? And in Witness, the story has it that it was originally an episode of Gunsmoke, and because they couldn't figure out what Act Two, Part Two was, they couldn't get it to work as a feature. So Act Two, Part Two is, in fact, almost another movie. I've asked the question, who or what would my main character die for? Die for is in quotes, because obviously if you're writing a comedy, maybe death is not literal. But this is where most writing falls down. If the character could achieve the goal in the beginning of the movie, why bother with the movie? Right? Movies are a journey like life. Something has to happen that makes our character go through an experience, just like you in your nonfiction books, your cathartic experience that gave you your insights, right? In order to be able to achieve the victory in Act Three. Make sense? So if we remember, this piece is different. So in Witness, it's a crime story, right? But then in that second Act Two, Part Two, it turns into a love story, right? He falls in love with Kelly McGillis, and now he has to choose between being a lover and an Amish or being violent and solving the original case. And you see how this relates to our personal journeys when we're writing, right? Because we've had the nightmare, we come back, we recover, we find out how we're going to live better lives, and then we're confronted with this incredible challenge, and we must decide if we're going to stay true to ourselves or succumb, yes? Make sense? So in The Godfather, he goes off to Sicily, and again, similar, he falls in love with the girl, and because the girl is killed by his father's enemies, that's the experience that turns him into the monster that he becomes at the end of The Godfather. So you see that? You see, so that without that experience, we don't really have a movie. We don't have a story, and if you're writing a nonfiction, you don't have that. If you're writing a self-help book and you don't tell that part of your own story where you came back and you were challenged and you had to stick to your guns, you are cheating your audience. Because remember, I do a lot of business books as well. I'm used to working with your kind of material. And this is the piece, and this is why something sells or doesn't sell. Go take a look at the Celestine Prophecy, which is the original. He suffers. He gets his game on, and then he's tepid. It's the three temptations of Christ. It doesn't change. You know, we've got to work this thing, you know, whichever we're doing. So in the case of the book, if you want to look at it, we use Witness as an example. The book is a workbook, basically, so you can look at it. It's graphically designed. It's laid out scene by scene. So you could have fun inserting your own stuff there. And we talked about what we would do with Witness if we turned it into a TV series, which is very simple. In the first season, he would only get up to Philadelphia. The whole season would be about him being in Philadelphia trying to protect her and the boy, you see? And then the second season, he'd be stuck up in Amish country and fall in love with her. And then the third season, he'd have to get his way out of that and come back. And you laugh, but then you go, wow, stories are stories. You know, this stuff really starts to work. And I guarantee that all of you probably have a really good story. And if what you take from this talk is that you go home and you look at your book, and if you wonder why it's not selling that well, it may be because you forgot this little part of it, right? Maybe you left yourself out of your book. You know, and that doesn't mean to bear all. It's a question of sharing this common experiences. We fail upwards. We fail upwards. We're challenged, right? Christ in the desert, you know, if Satan comes, I'll give you everything, right? And he goes, no. Did he make the right choice? He ended up on a cross. I mean, right? I mean, you know, that's not my job, okay? But it's a heck of a good story, right? And so it's really fun, and it's worth a couple of hours of your time to check this out and see what you got, because it's a moment in time. So I'll tell you a really good story just before I end. My friend Michael Zam, who's one of my colleagues at NYU, has a specialty, and he basically does celebrity death battles movies. So he wrote one about Joan Crawford and Bette Davis. And Ryan Murphy bought the movie a couple of years ago. And then Ryan started developing a new series called Feud. And he realized that Michael's movie would make a fabulous season of Feud. You know, so instead of being a two-hour movie, it's now 12 episodes of Betty Davis and Joan Crawford battling, right? And this is what I mean in terms of the translation. And as I say, there's a real openness to good content. Now, the three things you need, as I said, you need great characters, you need a memorable story. If it's comedy, it better be funny as heck. And if it's not a comedy, it better be ironic as heck, so that you have some real teeth. And then it really has to be beautifully written and well presented. But to pitch things, and again, I have 10 YouTube videos. If you go look up Marilyn Horowitz, Perfect Pilot, I have 10 two-minute video blogs that pretty much give you a précis of my new book that's coming out next year. And take a look, see what you think. It applies to web series. But the most important thing is wherever you are in your nonfiction works, I say I work on so many business books and self-help books as well, make sure you tell that part of the story. You know, where you suffered, you got your info, and then you kind of fell back, and then something else happened that kicked you up the level, because that's going to elevate your book above everybody else's.
We hope you will join us at Expert Insights IFFY Book Awards this year at one of the top resorts on the Mexican Riviera. Details on how you can secure your place are at www.mybookaward.com. There are limited spaces and discount rooms available, so visit today, www.mybookaward.com. See you next week.